Welcome to a Comic Crusader special.
Hey, everybody, welcome to a new Comic Crusader podcast special. Yes, folks, we're doing it again. Yes, we are, because we had to. Last time we spoke to Dion, that was supposed to be part 5 of 5 and our supposed closeout of the multiverse. But darn it, the multiverse even expands in our podcast verse, because now we got part 6. And today, we're going to talk about the economy. There were some questions that Dion felt much more comfortable with our other guest on the podcast today, which is also part of the multiverse platform. He is what we call the economist of the multiverse, that could definitely explain to us the whole token economy, because the questions that need to be answered, I'm speaking about none other than Mr. Jorn von Zwanenburg. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. No, thank you for coming on. Dion, thank you once again for being on with us and bringing on your partner in Jorn to discuss the economy that is within the multiverse. Because I know, as you know, that, you know, that's one thing that creators, publishers, and even people that want to go ahead and invest in the products that will be part of the structure, he will let you, you know, want to know. So,
sure. So
let's start with the first question. From what we understand here, the multiverse is going to have its own unique token. So, Jorn, to understand, you're the guy that's all behind this. Can you explain to us what is the story behind the multiverse token?
Yeah, definitely. So the story as Dion explained in earlier episodes, is that we're going to have a unique narrative. So it's going to be a good versus evil storyline throughout the whole platform. And in this platform, there's also an entity, and the entity is called the Arbiter. So the evil side, the evil forces have slowly taken over multiverse, and the entity has been shattered into a billion pieces. And that's the story behind our token. So we even have a story behind our economy there. And nice. The token is called the Arbiter. So there's shards of this entity's body, and they're scattered throughout the universe where users can collect them. And then the users can collect them for our applications in the multiverse. We can reward them for their contributions. So that's kind of how the token came into being.
So on the overall scope, how easy is it to use the token within the universe?
It will be very easy. It will be very intuitive, and it will be integrated with every application. And there will be a wallet. There will be a dashboard where you can see how many you have, how you can transfer it to other people. And there will be a blockchain explorer. So that's the beauty about blockchain, right? It's very transparent. So everybody can monitor, like, okay, who has what? Where's the tokens going? How many transactions are going? How healthy is this economy?
Okay, very nice. So as you stated, so this is something that overall will be able to be used within the whole landscape of the multiverse line of products. Is not subjected to just being used within one?
Yeah, definitely. First, I'm going to kick off with the Hero Ledger application. So that's the first place where people can find the Hero Ledger token and also use it. But as soon as we start rolling out other applications, the token will be a part of it. So it will be a means of payment, but it will also be a way to reward users. It will be used for a host of other applications and functionalities. So yeah, it will be used throughout Multiverse.
But when it comes to then, let's talk about valuation here, right? So how will, you know, users get financial value from the Arbiter? And then how did you even come up with the valuation per se per token?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And that's kind of the whole thing with cryptocurrencies and everything. It's kind of mind-blowing that we now have something very, like a way to rethink value. Because we also always think about value in a very singular way. That's just money. However, value is a lot broader than this. And basically, value comes from supply and demand, right? So what we do here is we create the token, and that's the supply, and we scatter it throughout the multiverse. And then it's up to us to make the features and the use cases of this token so valuable that there will be demand from the users. So on the one side, we create the supply, And on the other hand, the multiverse itself, the applications and the users create the demand. And then in combination will lead to a price, and that price will determine the value. And that's the microeconomy of the multiverse.
Very nice, very nice. So do you see the bigger picture for cryptocurrencies? And if so, where does Arbiter fit in within that?
Well, I think that's what I just described with the supply and demand. I think that's what's going to happen with a lot of these cryptocurrencies, right? For now, you see mostly Bitcoin, and that's the digital store of value, like the digital equivalent of gold. And you have some other cryptocurrencies that are slowly finding like their real value, like there's demands for actually what they're doing instead of just speculation. And I think the model that we've made with Multiverse, you see it slowly, like it's all been very experimental because it's so novel, this concept of value and how do we find value and how do you create actually like real value and demand for something. It's been a very experimental phase, but I think we're slowly getting there. And I think you're going to see completely new business models, you know, business models where you can actually incorporate or integrate financially every user of the platform. And I don't think Facebook will ever do it, but I do think, like, imagine if they had a token.
And they tried, didn't they? Didn't they try to come up with something that kind of got stalled?
Yeah, working on something.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. They tried a stable coin, but that's more of the financial side. But what I'm thinking, and I think the same could be done for Twitter, and I think for most of these platforms, is what if, like Twitter, if you post a very engaging tweet and it generates a lot of traction, generates a lot of like, you actually create the value for Twitter. Like, yes. That's what they're there for. However, you don't get any financial reward, nothing. But what if you could capture the value with a token and then distribute it? Like, you could use the token to promote yourself on the other side. So you could actually, that's the value you create, right? And you can, through a token mechanism, you can actually keep that value within that platform. And that's what I think where we're slowly we're finding these models, right? For social media, but also for cloud applications and more technical applications, for streaming services, for advertisements. You see slowly that we're discovering these models. And what I'm hoping is, and also kind of what we're aiming for, is the design of Multiverse is really, we hope to inspire a lot of these applications that focus more on the niche industry, that they see how they can actually do it, how they can financially give their users a stake in their platform, also give them some value and reward them for their contributions, because it is possible now. And that's what I'm really excited about, and what we're trying to kind of display to other projects as well. We're definitely out there to help in those terms.
That's fantastic. And talking about and helping in those terms, thank you for even saying that. It's what kind of leads into my next question. So, you know, this is all new. So you're going to have publishers and creators that maybe are very unfamiliar with the premise. You know, will a person like yourself or someone within the multiverse help us assist to educate the folks involved or that want to get involved within multiverse?
Yeah, definitely. We would help anyone, and I think that's part of it. That's also why we designed this narrative, this storyline behind the token. We want to make every single aspect of it as intuitive as possible because it is very new. And I think there can be a massive upside and benefit to this because you can distribute value a lot more equally through this. But yeah, it is still technical and probably not that intuitive, even though we try to integrate it as much as possible. So our focus, we would help with any aspect of it, and there will definitely be support. And just to frequently ask questions and a knowledge desk and everything. But I do think that if we can build our applications in such an intuitive way, I think slowly people just naturally start using it and start understanding the token and its use cases.
Gotcha. Wonderful. So the next question I have here, and it is actually something that comes from Dion, if you will, from folks that we've been speaking to. The question is, because we've been speaking about assets. When people think about assets, they think about art, right? You know, we've talked about, you know, characters, background, vehicles, this, that, the other. But a question now that has come up is, what can a hero letter do for a writer?
Good question. So when we think about writing, there's so many aspects to it. One aspect is creating the comic book script. And we know that the entire layout, the entire comic that we purchase comes from that. But the writer really has a creativity where they can look at an object, look at a character, an environment, and create an idea around it. And that synopsis, that summary of the idea, can, of course, be put in text, and text can be put in file, and it can either go alongside a character, or it can go alongside other written text for comics, and the idea of characters and environments can be created from that. And so we see the environment for writers as not just bringing scripts forward alone, but also being able to craft ideas around the assets individually, either assets that they've purchased or assets that they see in the store or that their teams are working on.
Oh, fantastic. Interesting. That sounds really good. I like that. Great answer.
Thanks.
Now, there was someone on LinkedIn, Kevin Hanna. Shout out to Kevin for asking this. This is from LinkedIn. Now, one of his questions here was, as an independent tabletop role-playing game designer slash author, I see the assets created synonymous with those from the comic book world, and consequently, I am extremely interested in Hero Ledger, especially in terms of sharing assets across my, as I see it, underserved genre of diesel punk. Now, he asked, tell us, what can Hero Ledger do for tabletop role-playing games and the role-playing game world in general?
Okay, so with first, Kevin Hanna has a really great website and a TRPG concept called Necromech. And so that's at necromech.com for those that you should all go check it out. Very, very, I would say, advanced or innovative in terms of tabletop role-playing games. And we're going to see more innovations in these niche markets. And it's going to be very important for Multiverse as well as other domains to be able to work with them and find ways of helping them to monetize, find ways to help them grow their brands. But they're so innovative that the current systems that exist really don't provide for that. So you're having a lot of creators really create their own platforms. And that can be advantageous, but it also still breaks them away from that hole and where the hole usually is doing everything from buying, selling, and marketing. Kevin's, he'll be able to correct me on this, but Kevin's TRPG is pretty unique because it's cross-platform. It functions from a cloud where all of the necessary parts of that role-playing game, the information, the manuals, characters, all come from that cloud and get distributed to the various device for which the player and user function from. So that's a quick description of what Kevin's TRPG is and the structure. And Necromech is, he'll correct me on this, but Necromech is really there to not only tell the story in one or two dimensional ways, but to tell the story again, cross platform, where you're seeing video, you're interacting in LARP, you know, the live action role play, you're doing tabletop, you're doing mobile to mobile and augmented reality. There are a number of ways for which the players are going to interact with the story and with one another. That's very complex when you think about it.
Absolutely.
So what we saw, when you look at an RPG, a comic book, most entertainment material has a script. It has an organization of words and ideas so that all the necessary producers can put their parts together and then aggregate that into the form, whether that's a Broadway play, a TRPG, a video game, or a comic book. And it is that written material that Hero Ledger in particular can service. So what a creator would do is take that written material and again, place it on Hero Ledger. And there's the opportunity for other creators to get involved with it, to create characters for it, to license it, to create entire storylines, graphic novels and comics. Whereas maybe the TRPG creator, that author, is just thinking about telling the story across the platforms, but not really thinking about the other genres or the other areas that their works can go into.
Right? Absolutely. There's tons of other niches within the culture, you know, the tabletop, the regular RPG, you got video games, you got the comics, you got TV. I mean, nowadays there's so many multiple platforms for any one product to exist in. It's amazing.
Definitely. And the benefit of Hero Ledger is keeping track of who the originator of those assets are and how they are in activity being transacted online as well as in our platform. Our system is really responsible for those records and for letting people know what's happening with those assets as well as who control those assets. And that's something that when we look at it, most of our information on who has what we create is somewhat limited. We know our fan service by what people say to us on social or even our buyers list, but we really don't know how they're transacting outside of those lists. And so what we're working on is a world where there is more information about not only who owns the asset, but how the asset is being transacted, how it's going from one person to another in terms of price, date and time, in terms of use cases, even up to bad actors who might try to take that work and use it in a way that's not allowed, you know, not permitted.
So you'll be able to track any transactions that iffy, allowing the creator or the person behind it to see it and be like, okay, acknowledge that something is wrong and be able to act upon it?
We would be able to track the assets that are unique to our registration and look at them online and see the different types of use. Now, of course, the software can't do all the work. It's going to take some human eyes as well to really sort out what's being seen and really getting with those individuals who own that work and finding out firsthand what's going on. And with those two pieces of data or multiple pieces of data, all of us can come to some type of a decision or some type of solution. That's the goal there, you know, because we want to protect the creator's work. But for what Kevin is doing, you know, this is a place also to monetize very unique aspects of his game. So maybe he has the system where, you know, again, this cloud where it's pushing out all the necessary parts to being involved in the game. His cloud is pushing that info out. But maybe he has some unique characters, some unique environments, some unique treatment. And maybe Hero Ledger is the place where he wants to sell that. Maybe he doesn't have a cloud at all. Maybe the idea of the cloud is more of what he's talking about versus actually having it. And so having an exclusive relationship where these characters can be sold and accounted for and protected and, you know, monetized, obviously, is also, possible with Hero Ledger. It's very possible.
There you go. And talking about monetization, I want to go back to Yorn real quick then. With, you know, what does this connect to in regards to, you know, creators, publishers? Is it going to connect to a PayPal account or a bank account? And if there's any transactions, you know, can you talk about any percentages and how that works out?
Do you mean our transaction fees or?
Sure, transaction fees, yep. Yep. So, you know, just to make it clear for everybody to understand, you know, whatever transaction fees they are. And how does even a transaction work? So, for example, I want the, you know, Dion guy, you know, a character, you know, Mr. Wilson, and I'm interested in the character. Like, how would I go about the transaction and what are the transaction fees like that? I mean, how seamless is the whole process?
Initially, we will use a dual currency system, which means we can use the Arbiter for transactions. So every token you earned or buy, you could also use that for transactions within the system. But you'd also be able to use regular money, that old school money.
The so, old school paper. And what's the valuation between old school paper and the, you know, tokenology within Multiverse?
Well, initially our token will be packed to $1. But as soon as, because the token will be a scarce and limited supply, so there will only be a maximum number of tokens, which means that if the demand increased, at some point the price will increase. But we want to keep this as natural as possible. So we really want the demand and the value of the applications and the value that users attribute to our token to determine the price of the token.
Gotcha. Okay, so again, how easy is the process, you know, the transaction for me wanting to purchase something, you know, within that? How is that, you know, navigated within the
store? Well, I would like to chime in on that and say that it's basically, it's the same as any type of transaction where you're putting an item in your shopping cart, you know, if you were at Amazon or any other online store. And of course, you're going to be asked for the method of payment that you want to use. And so the method of payments, as Yorn mentioned, will be the token, the Arbiter, if you have that in your wallet, and or cash. You'll be able to use them together or use them separately. It's up to your wallet, how much you have and the spend. And so you're going to select it. And once you select, it's going to, of course, debit from either your Arbiter collection or your cash or a combination of the both. And once that payment is verified, that item is yours to use.
Gotcha. See, the reason I ask it the way that I asked it was because, again, I am buying, for example, a product, you know, or, you know, a character created by someone else, if you will, right? So, you know, will any type of, if you will, contracts or verbiage come up during a transaction about the usage of how I'm going to utilize whatever I purchase?
Sure, that information is in the description. So when there will be information for the buyers and the sellers on the objects, I say objects, but the assets that they are selling and buying, where the seller will structure the permissions, whether or not that's a license or a full sale, and what the stipulations are on the license, as well as on a sale. And most of us know, should know, that if you sell something, it's no longer yours, it belongs to someone else. So at that point in the system, the person who created it is known as the originator and the author. And then the person who acquires it, when it's a full sale, is known as the owner at that point. Okay. And our records will keep track of that, the originator and owner, and then the new owner. But also there is a description, like with every product you buy, that states what comes along with the ownership of this product. You know, whether that's a license, whether that's an exchange. And we're leaving it up to, there's some language we add there, of course, but we're really leaving it up to the originators of those assets to determine what all goes with the sale and the license. And that will be seen by the buyers and the license.
Does Hero Ledger supply any documentation to assist, you know, a publisher creator with the correct verbiage to, you know, to, you know, process such type of sale, if you will?
Very good question. And yes, not only documentation, but in the future, we're going to roll out some explainer videos that really walk the buyer, the seller, and the licensor, licensee through the process.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love it, folks. You see the support that Multiverse would give people involved. This is amazing. So I got to ask these questions because I want people to make sure to understand that they're secure. They have a support team. They have information. They have, you know, look, Jorn, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, your answers are quite clear, concise, and kind of makes me feel very secure once again in the economy now of the multiverse. So thank you for stepping up here today and talking about that. It's really awesome.
Great to hear, Alan. Great to be in a podcast. I'm glad to hear you're so excited about a project.
Let me ask, have you done other podcasts prior or no?
Yeah, I've done three of them. This is the fourth time.
All right, well, now you're getting loose, look at you. Awesome. No, thank you. You've been great with the podcast. Thank you for all the information. Is there any particular places that people could watch you or follow you in regards to finding up about, you know, blockchain, tokenology, and all that?
Mostly you can just find me on LinkedIn or Medium, the blogging platform.
And where would that be? What's the avenue for that one on Medium?
Just my name, Jorn van Zwanenburg.
There you go, folks. Dion, again, you with the awesome answers.
I try.
Now, you're not trying, you're doing. I love it, Dion. Your energy is amazing, both of you guys. You have an amazing product. Thank you so much for talking about the economy and the tokenology here, and especially answering Kevin's question. Kevin, I hope that Dion's answers helped you in understanding what HeroLook can, in fact, do for you. Because, you know, I'm trying to get into RPGs. So, you know, if you're going to be a Hero Legend, I'm going to be digging into that. Now you got me inspired. Great. I need to make a Comic Crusaders RPG game. Let's go.
That'd be nice. Yeah, we gotta bring Kevin on. That means you gotta have Kevin on.
Kevin, teach me how to do a game right now. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
I'll make Dion one of the characters too. Let's do it.
Too much. Thanks, Al. And you know, again, I want to thank Jorn for just chiming in. Obviously, he answered those questions a lot better than I could. He is our blockchain officer. He's the guy that knows this stuff. He put it together for us, you know.
No, so. I can't wait. I can't wait for people to really dig into this. You know, this is part 6 of 5. and I'm pretty sure we're going to extend more because now with the Arbiter stuff, you know, Dion is such a tease. Now he has the Arbiter logo going on. He knows I'm going to have questions about that. So, folks, I'm pretty
sure
that.
Coin.
Yeah,
right.
We're going to have so many more questions. So that means that this part 6 of 5, throw that out the window. This is going to be a continuing series. We'll talk to Dion again, find out what Arbiter is as well next. And, you know, find out all about the launch dates for everything going on Hero Ledger and Multiverse. God bless. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Jorn, you rock. Have a great time. From where you're in the future. Thank you for not sharing the lottery numbers. I could have won today. I would have given you 10%, but that's okay. Dion. You're awesome. Yeah. Thank you again for joining. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Al. Thanks, Comic Crusaders.
Wepa, that's right. So my Crusaders and my Capers, thanks for tuning in. Much love. Hasta la próxima. Yes.
Thank you for tuning in.